There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write in as well at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Tell Us Your Ghost Story, or you can send us your audio file, MP3, M4A, whatever it may be. Email that to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories and your experiences to us here on the program. Today, a lot of calls, lots of your stories. So looking forward to hearing all of that. And this will be the last episode that you're hearing before we decide to drink juice for 10 days.
We're going to share that?
Yeah, I already did share it, actually, on Facebook. I did a little Facebook Live talking about that we were going to try and be a bit healthier and that we're going to attempt that juice thing.
To kick it off.
Yep, for about 10 days. And I opened it up on Facebook saying to anybody, like, hey, anybody else want to join in on this with us or just be healthier with us and we can kind of share how it's going?
And no takers?
No, there's plenty of people.
Oh, really?
Okay. A lot of people said that they were, I don't know if they're going to try drinking the juice thing for 10 days. And this is not like, hey, buy our juice.
It's, no.
We literally have a juicer and we're going to the store buying fruit and pushing it through the thing, and a lot of it kind of smells like dirt.
It does. But, the beets are horrible.
But it is. It's delicious.
Beets are not delicious.
when you mask it with like apples and stuff, you can make anything really not that bad. It's just a matter of masking it a little bit.
Okay.
But anyway, we're attempting that for 10 days to kind of begin to get a bit healthier, and then from there, just after that, still having some juice, but not exclusively, and just, you know, eating a bit healthier. So if you're in the new year and you're wanting to get a bit healthier, now you have a paranormal support health group as well with Real Ghost Stories Online. I figure we can do a lot of the interacting there on Facebook. So if you want to join us on that, just let us know and then watch that space for the Daily Brew stuff, and just when we talk on there, and we'll just kind of communicate like that. So if you've been looking for a group of like-minded individuals to get healthy with, here you go.
And we're going to be real honest about the whole experience.
Exactly. If it crashes and burns,
yes,
it will be there. But hopefully that's not how it's going to go. A lot of times having other folks do this kind of helps sometimes. So
it keeps me accountable.
Yeah. So there you go. If you want some other folks to help keep you accountable, there you go. The penalty if you do not follow through is we're going to show up at your house with a Ouija board and do a lot of playing with it.
Paranormal threats.
Exactly. So there you go. So check it out on Facebook, on our Facebook page. You can just find us there at Real Ghost Stories online. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at the show. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I wanted to call in with a story that I totally forgot about until I was talking about it the other night with a group of friends who were going to go visit St. Augustine, and they knew that I'd been there several times. So about 10 years ago, I was there. I was in Orlando at Disney World with my kids and my parents, and we decided to take a drive one day out to St. Augustine. So my daughter was about 7, and I think my son was, he was still just a baby. He was about maybe a year old. And we went out to St. Augustine. It was cool. I don't think I'd ever been there before at that point. That may have been my first time there. And my dad was obsessed with lighthouses. He visited lighthouses wherever he went. He loved them. Me, not so much. I'm afraid of heights and tight spaces and falling downstairs like that. Anyway, so we're there, and we went to a restaurant that had, it was a cute restaurant, but it had terrible service. We had to wait, I think, like an hour just to get water. But there was no other options of places to eat. It was the only place that was open that early that wasn't fast food. So my daughter and I had gone into the bathroom, and we noticed when we walked in, the sink, the two of the sink faucets were running, and it was the knobs that you turn, you know, one for hot water, one for cold water. We went into the bathroom, you know, into the stall. I went into one, she went into the other, and I heard the water come on again, so I assumed that she was washing up, and I said to her, don't walk out without me. And I heard her voice next to me, and I'm like, oh, okay. We came back out. The water, both sinks were back on again after I turned them off before we went into the stalls. I turned them off again, and they turned back on right in front of us. It was the weirdest thing. So I came out, and I said, I had asked my mom, who's really into paranormal stuff, hey, is this like a haunted city? And she said, well, yes, it's the oldest city in the United States. It's a very old city. I think there's ghost tours and everything. So I'm like, oh, okay. So we're sitting there waiting for our food. Finally, we eat. We drive over to the lighthouse. I don't remember the name of it. I don't even know if it was if it's the only one in St. Augustine. I am not sure. Maybe another listener can clear that up. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed with a sense of panic, sheer terror. It felt like I was having a panic attack or an anxiety attack. I thought I was dying. My dad was sitting in the car waiting for the line to go down so that he could get into the lighthouse. My mom and daughter were in the gift shop, and I was pushing my son around in his stroller. And all the while thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die at this lighthouse place. I don't know where it came from. It was just a sense of sheer panic. And prior to that happening, I was walking around the grounds. You know, there was quite a few people there, and it was kind of warm out. I had on a shirt and maybe like a button-up shirt over it that was opened up in the front. And when we were walking around, I felt a hand go straight up my back, like it was going up the bottom of my shirt all the way up to my neck. And I remember distinctly feeling that and turning it around. Turning around, I was going to yell at my daughter for it because I'm like, what is that? That's so inappropriate. Don't do that. There was no one behind me, and I remembered she was in the gift shop with my mom. And maybe within minutes of that is when I started to feel this horrible anxiety. I couldn't shake it. I went into the bathroom, you know, tried to sit in a stall for a while and, you know, get my senses back. I kept feeling like I was going to faint. I didn't know what was wrong. I was maybe 30 years old at the time, and I came out, and my dad was in the car, and I said, Dad, we have to go. I think I'm dying. I think I'm having a heart attack. And he's like, what's going on? And I told him what was wrong. And he said, you're fine. You're having an anxiety attack. Let me run in and get your mom and your daughter and my daughter. So they ran in. We got out to the car. And my mom's like, your sugar's just low. You took too long to eat. And I'm like, no, it's not that. I feel like I'm dying. I need to go to a hospital. And my dad just said, you know what, just count and breathe. And we're driving. And as soon as we left, maybe 20 minutes outside of St. Augustine, I was totally fine, absolutely fine. It was the weirdest thing. And I heard on another podcast, it wasn't yours, I'm not sure which one it was, another girl had a similar experience where she'd gone there and she just had a freak out, like the same type as mine. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm wondering, do any of your listeners experience that? I wonder if it was something supernatural, because I did feel that hand go up my shirt. It was icy cold. And it was the weirdest. I've never had that feeling ever again. I've never suffered from anxiety attacks. I never had that feeling ever again. That was the only time I had that. So I'm wondering, with your guys' experience and your other listeners, does anybody else have that type of experience where they feel like they're going to have an anxiety attack and absolutely lose their shit before or during some paranormal situation? So I love your show so much. We are EPP members. Everybody should sign up for that, because those stories are absolutely amazing. I play those over and over. They're so relaxing. So thank you so much for all you do. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Being somebody that's had paranormal encounters and anxiety attacks,
mm-hmm.
they feel very similar. But the anxiety attack seems to take longer to get under control, at least for me, because it's not an outside force causing it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the kind of energy that you feel where you can't breathe and you start to really tense up, it's like once you're away from it, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be surprised if there aren't others that have that, because I think a lot of times if you don't have panic attacks, and I don't have them often, but if you don't have them, it's a very, very unsettling experience, kind of like what she was explaining. You think you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that you have to realize is sometimes it can just be the energy that's around you.
Could there also be the issue where it comes into play where both are taking place simultaneously? One's triggered by the other?
I guess so. It's just very hard to differentiate that, just because
sure.
they feel the same.
Once it's going on, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. What's, you know, chicken or the egg?
Right. I mean, that feeling of not being able to breathe and you need to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're out of there, it's done.
Sure.
But if it's something else that's triggered it that's more internal and psychological, mm-hmm. then that doesn't fix it.
Sure. Sure. Thank you for the sharing the experience and the story. And there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Brewskis. I'm Katrina from Asheville, North Carolina, and I just wanted to tell you guys a little short story. I hope you hear it on the podcast. My grandmother died when my best guess would be maybe I was 6 or 8. I couldn't even tell you how old I was, but she died from breast cancer. And they had put her up in the hospice before she died, and she passed away there. But my aunt from my mom's side of the family actually bought her old home, and it's in Merriman Avenue in Asheville here in North Carolina. So it's kind of like a historic piece of town anyways. But when she bought my mamaw's house, she always had a hard time sleeping, and I used to be really, really close with my aunt, so we'd go over there every weekend, and we'd go to church with her. And I grew up going to, like, Southern Baptist Church, and so that's what we did. Me and my sister, we would always go to my aunt's house to go to church with her, and she'd keep us all weekend long. Well, my Aunt Patsy had this little Cocker Spaniel dog, and her name was Maddie, and she had to be 12 years old. She was an old dog. And when my aunt moved into the house, this dog would sit in the living room looking into the kitchen and would just growl and growl and growl. And I always slept with my Aunt Patsy in her bed, and my sister always slept in the living room on the couch and watched TV. Well, it got so bad that my sister got scared to even stay over there anymore. She wouldn't go anymore. She didn't want to go to church or anything. She just didn't want to go over there at all. So one day, my mom and my stepdad were dropping me off to go spend the night with my Aunt Patsy like I did every weekend, and we pulled up in the driveway and we got to the door, and she knew we were on our way. We came the same time every weekend. my mom had already talked to her on the phone earlier that day. She knew that we were getting dropped off. And we rang the doorbell, and nobody would answer, and she was not coming to the door. And my mom was seriously, like, minutes away from calling the police because we didn't know what was going on. Her car was in the driveway, but we could not get her to the door. What happened was my Aunt Patsy comes to the door. She's bleeding and crying, and my Aunt Patsy is a really religious person, like, would not lie about a thing. There was this 13-foot balcony. It's just like a small little porch, and it was 13 feet up in this, like, in the air, like, connected to the back patio door, which my Aunt Patsy had just had new patio doors installed. And she was outside feeding her cat. You know, she would always, like, take her cat's bit out on the ledge and feed it. When all of a sudden, the door shuts and deadbolts behind her. And if you guys know anything about deadbolts, you can't deadbolt a door from outside of it. Like, you have to be inside the house to deadbolt it, because if you were to deadbolt it, it wouldn't close. So there's this little tiny bathroom window, probably about 2 feet away from this 13-high balcony. And my Aunt Patsy had to break out the window and climb all the way through the bathroom, and that's how she got cut up and bleeding. She said she was out there for about 20 minutes. You know, she had, like, a little pair of garden scissors. She was trying to bust the windows out in the patio door with it, and that just would not happen. She could not break the door. And so that's really creepy in itself, because how does a deadbolt lock? You know, and my Mama Boone was, like, weird in her own ways anyways. She had, like, kind of a hard life. I didn't know her really well, but I know that, you know, she had 10 kids. She was married twice, and, like, 4 of her 10 kids died, like, crazy deaths. One of them drowned in an outhouse when she was 3. The other one got ran over at an intersection and got hit by a car. One of them was a dwarf, and he got beat up by a bunch of people at a bar and killed. And then the other one died at, like, 20-something of a heart attack. So she already had, like, some serious emotional problems. But I just thought that was a neat little story, and it's kind of, you know, you can debunk it on the fact that you cannot close the door if it's deadbolted. So I like hearing everybody else's stories, and I hope to hear this on the podcast. Thanks.
So I want to know, what did Aunt Patsy do from then on when she had to go outside to keep the door from deadbolting behind her?
God.
Because obviously going out on this deck and then being locked out isn't something she can do over and over. I mean... Mm-hmm. Or have stairs put on, I guess, but still.
Why do you have stairs going up to the bathroom window?
Yeah.
Well, that's because that's horrible. I mean, it sounds like there's something truly dark and troubling that had been following her and her family around.
Well, and it's like, okay, did all those kids of the grandmother that passed away, had they all lived in that house? Is there something in the house that was causing all this misfortune for this family, or... was that before then? I mean, it's just kind of like, what's the deal? Because that's really, I mean, that's a lot for one family to deal with.
There is, and I'm wondering how much more of a backstory there is to this that even our caller is unaware of.
Yeah.
To explain more of it, because it almost seems like somebody knows something more here that others may not. So thank you for that story. Let us know if you have any other updates to that. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your experiences.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Regina, and I'm from Ohio. This is my first time calling, but I've been listening to your show for almost, like, 2 years now. So I am 21 years old, about to graduate college, and I've only had 2 experiences in my life that were kind of strange, but I wouldn't, like, consider myself sensitive or anything, just very, very not aware. I'm very oblivious to everything. So I have 2 stories that aren't too long. So my first story happened when I think I was a junior in high school, and I was staying at my aunt and uncle's house, because I was taking care of their cat, I believe, and I decided to bring my boyfriend at the time along. And so it was like a little sleepover, and so it was getting late, and he decided to go to bed. and we were going to sleep in my aunt and uncle's bedroom, and it was late at night, and I wake up hearing the door to the hallway, like the bedroom door, like it was closed, and it was shaking, like it was like someone was trying to get in, but wasn't getting in, so it just kept shaking. So I was like, that's strange. And then my boyfriend at the time also heard it and woke up, and he was like, oh, it's probably the cat. So I was like, okay. And then I went back to sleep. I woke up again. I heard it again. And then I was like, okay, it's the cat. And so I went back to sleep. So in the morning, I woke up, and I was sleeping. The bed is in between, on a wall, against the wall, but on my side, it was a closet door, and then on my boyfriend at the time side, it was the hallway door, like the bedroom door. So I woke up, and I saw that the door was open to the closet a little bit, like it was cracked. And it wasn't like that in the when we first got into the room, like all night, it was closed. And then I saw the door open, and I looked down, and I saw that the cat was getting out of the closet. And it, what really freaked me out was if that would have happened, like the cat at night opening the door, then the cat would have, I would have seen the closet door open, and there was no cat on the other, like obviously the sound, it was like coming from the, like the hallway where the door was trying to open at night. And if the cat would have done that, the cat would have kept the closet door open, and we would have seen the cat at the bottom of the door on the inside of the bedroom where it was all night, and they only had one cat. So I found that really strange. I wasn't sure what to think of it, but I don't really tell many people because they're all like, oh, well, it's probably the wind or something, but all the windows were closed. There was no draft or anything like that. So another story that I have, this actually recently happened. So I was in my apartment this year, probably a few months ago, and I was with my two best friends. And one of them is a psychic and can feel energy from, like, seeing some things sometimes. But one night, we were all hanging out, and I was just hanging out on the couch next to my one friend who smoked cigarettes. And my friend that's a sensitive, she just, like, looked, like she just saw a ghost. And I'm just like, what is it? Because I was freaking out. I wasn't sure what she was looking at. And she was like, oh, it's nothing. Like, it's nothing. It's probably just something that wants to, like, get in touch with me. And I was like, what was it? And she was like, I saw a face in the smoke when it flew, like, it was right behind you, and I saw it, like, a face forming, and it's probably something that just wants to tell me something. But, like, not a lot, because she knows that I get scared really easily, but at the same time, I want to know things, even though I'll probably regret wanting to know it. So freaked out because I've never, it was near me, like I just saw a face right near my person, so I'm just like, weird, okay. But the strange thing is, the next day I get a message from someone that works with my mom, and one of my mom's closest friends, like one of her best friends, and also one of my friends, had passed away that night, and at work, like in the office, she passed away, and I found it really strange that my friend would see a face and just say, like, something, once probably just get in contact with me or something, and then find out, and this is the first time that someone really close to me passed away, so it was really strange that that had happened, and, I mean, so, of course, but, I mean, I've just never experienced something like that, and I found it really crazy that that would have happened to me, and So, yeah, I'm not sure it's my first time ever calling, and not sure what you guys think about that. It'll be cool this year if this airs, but I love your show. I listen to it all the time when I have to take long drives and in class sometimes. Well, keep up the good work, and have a great day. Bye.
So I think what she was alluding to was that the face that the sensitive friend saw was maybe that of the other friend that passed away at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of trying to get that message across, you know?
Of being on the other side?
Of I'm gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone. So I don't know. It's kind of strange.
It's always interesting when something like that happens, especially if the person that's receiving the message or seeing the face is unaware that the other person has passed.
Yeah, or who that other person is, mm-hmm. you know, because it sounds like the sensitive friend didn't say, oh, I just saw, you know, mm-hmm. so-and-so's face that she maybe had not known, and the only link was mm-hmm. Regina. So
yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I went through today and sent a lot of envelopes out with bunk bed bells in them. That was fun. I mean, I love doing it. It's funny because I do it like about every other week. I go through our list of who's signed up, and then it's literally me. That's why the handwriting sucks on the envelopes in Sharpie, and then I send everything out. It's all by hand, so it's pretty much, you know, we're not a large operation here. It's us.
It's a labor of love.
It is. So a whole bunch of those went out. Still got several in the box over there. Probably going to have to do another order of some bunk bed bells here soon because there's a lot of folks who are signing up for those. So we still have plenty of them. If you want a bunk bed bell, the way to do that is become a yearly EPP. That is a requirement. You need to sign up for a year membership, year to year, and then you can get a bunk bed bell. So when you do it, you get not only a bunk bed bell, you also get one of those months free because $5 a month is what it is for month to month. A yearly membership is $55, and there you go. One of those months free and a free bunk bed bell to add to that. I was going to try and use the word ring, and I had something in my mind, and I couldn't figure out how to include it in the sentence.
Aww.
Anyway, that's how you do it. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com. And then once you do sign up for the yearly membership, email, and I'll let me know that you sign up, and I will get that bunk bed bell out to you. So all the instructions are there when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Hi.
All right, so I had just started seeing this guy who was really, really nice, and I was a little torn on seeing him because after a few of our dates, I realized he was really good friends with a guy who had done some inappropriate things to me and caused me a lot of nightmares and problems, but I really liked the guy I'd been seeing, so I decided to see where it went. So I go to his apartment for the first time, and he lives in a basement apartment in a part of Virginia that was really big in slave trading back in the day. And he leaves me alone in his apartment for the first time to go to work so I could sleep in. And after he left and I'd fallen back asleep, I suddenly was woken up by his coat rack, a framed picture, and a tin holding umbrellas and stuff all falling off the wall and being knocked down very loudly. And I heard scratching, and I immediately did what I always think people do in scary situations. I think, okay, it's got to be a mouse or something. I don't know how a mouse knocked all of this huge, heavy stuff over, but I'm going to stay calm and try to check it out. So I stand up and the scratching stops. I go over to the area and I examine it, and I don't see any signs of a mouse, no bites on anything, no mouse poop, nothing. And I was like, okay, well, I feel the craziest vibe right now. I'm very scared, and I get dressed and leave as fast as I can. So I tell him about it, and he says he's never had anything like that happen, and it was probably the wind or something like that, even though there's no windows in the basement apartment, and it was too far after he'd left for the door to have caused everything to fall over. And so I decide to be brave, and I stay at his house again, and he leaves me alone again in the morning, and I wake up after falling back asleep, and I just feel the craziest, heaviest feeling. And at this point, I'm not sure if this was a psychic premonition or a dream. I had definitely just woken up, but I felt like I was completely awake, and I felt somebody sit down on the bed with me. And in my mind, I didn't actually see this person with my eyes, but in my mind, I saw a slave woman. And she looked at me and she said, "Why are you dating this guy? I've been mistreated by men and forced to be enslaved, yet you're a free woman and you're in this relationship with this man who's friends with somebody who's terrible to you. It's causing you nightmares. It's not healthy. I'm angry at you because you have the freedom to get out and you won't." And so after that, I left the house again. I never stayed at the house alone. And I probably went out with him for a few weeks after that. And I couldn't deal with it anymore because I would have dreams and anxiety about it. And I was scared of his house. And so we eventually broke it off and I did what the ghost said and never had an issue again. But I'm pretty convinced it was real, and it was a real embodiment of a woman who had been enslaved, because the area of Richmond that I was in was very close to a lot of areas where they've uncovered slave burial grounds and slave trading. So that's my story. I really like your show, and this is my first time calling in to any sort of radio thing. So I hope that I did okay. Thank you. Bye.
I think that's a good story, and that it was a spirit giving a good guiding message and not just, "Hey, I'm here to scare you," you know.
It was a good introduction to the ghostly world.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was a guiding light, if you will.
Oh, that's nice. Are you going to reference a different soap opera every day?
How did Guiding Lights theme go?
I don't know.
Is that even on? That's
Why do you care what the theme is?
Because these are the weird things that go
you
through.
You said that yesterday for As the World Turns.
Why are you surprised that I'm concerned with the theme song?
I don't know.
Of obscure soap operas. I mean, wouldn't this be kind of given by now that I'm going to somehow gravitate to the randomness of something?
You know, after being with you for 8 years, I'm still surprised by the randomness.
It's kind of, I am too sometimes. I'm surprised why I wonder. I don't even know.
I don't know.
It's how my mind functions and fires at certain things. While some people will be looking at you know, the canvas and the piece of art, I'm focused on some other really weird piece of it way over there in the corner, or uh-huh. or what sort of thumbtacks they use to attach it to the wall.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's me.
Okay.
Is Guiding Light still on?
I don't know. I don't watch that crap.
That was the question I had. Did you ever watch soap operas?
Yes, when I was a kid and my mom stayed home doing housework, she'd always have General Hospital on.
Yeah.
They get addictive.
Really?
They do. You get to where if you don't have anything better, you just turn it on.
Sure. My mom watched As the World Turns. Mm-hmm. That's how I knew that, and the music to that. If I heard it, I would know it. Like, that's As the World Turns. Yeah. I can name like some of the characters from about 1993-ish, probably on the show, because that's about the only time I watched it was like on summer vacation when I was old enough to be able to watch it a little bit with my mom and kind of understand it,
mm-hmm.
and too young to get out of the house on my own.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's what happened to me.
It was just that little window where it's like you're not quite old enough to ride your bike into town and do anything by yourself. And you're not young enough anymore where you're just wanting to watch cartoons and play with toys.
Sure.
It's that weird little state. Mm-hmm. I hated that state because it was kind of sad. I remember that, like, I loved playing with Legos when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit that state and you also kind of feel silly.
Yeah.
Doing it. It's like, I just don't, and your imagination is, it's there, but it's not like there where you can get so into it when you're a little kid. And I remember just being kind of depressed, just feeling like, I don't feel like I can play with my toys anymore. It wasn't out of embarrassment. It just like, I just didn't feel like I was getting into it.
Right.
And I wanted to like then start doing older kid stuff, but I wasn't old enough. It didn't last very long, though. At 14, I started working on the radio. So
you're too big to be little, and you're too little to be big.
Yeah. And then I was, like, really technically probably not in a mindset to be on the air sanely.
That was a very interesting call on whoever decided to give you an open mic at 14.
Yeah. That was just, it was fun. I could handle it, but the content was a little out there.
I can only imagine what you were like 20 years ago. as random as you are now.
It's quite random,
yeah,
to say the least. Let's go another caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Christina in Atlanta. I called with a shower story the other day where my water faucet in the bathroom kept going or turning on by itself. It keeps cutting me off. I've already recorded it 2 times, so if you can just trash those, and I'll be kind of quick. Basically, my husband bought me this little holder that has Chinese writing on it. He got it from Goodwill about a month ago. He knew I would like it. And so it's been in my room for about a month now. And I had the shower incident where the faucet kept turning on by itself. It freaked me out or whatever. But I was in the bathroom last night brushing my teeth. Got it all nice and foamy in my mouth, you know. And all of a sudden, this lady's voice whispered in my ear saying, "Hey, hello, can you hear me?" And, you know, I got all bug-eyed, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is not happening. No. And, you know, I'm just, like, freaking out. Well, he decided to tell me that last night, that there was human hair in the holder thing that he got me with the Chinese writing on it. And I've been holding my hairbrushes in there, and he didn't tell me this. He was like, well, I just thought they maybe, like, held their hair and their hairbrushes in there. You know, he said it was black, straight hair, really long, and I'm like, well, how much was there? And he's like, I mean, it was a good amount. He was like, I thought it was weird that there was that much hair in the bottom of that. And I'm like, oh my god, like, I don't know if it was like some kind of ritual or what the hell it was, but now I'm like freaking out, you know. And I already have, like, and I don't have, I think I have multiple spirits in my house, none that are evil or anything like that. I don't think they're there to hurt any of my family members. But, you know, we have, like, children playing in my daughter's room. We'll hear the giggling, the laughing, the running up and down, the pitter-pattering up and down the hallways. And I have a 5-year-old daughter. She, you know, she plays by herself very well. You know, I've never seen her, like, interact, but she's never said anything. But, I mean, she does play very well with herself. She's the only child, so I don't know. She hasn't said anything to me, so maybe they just come out at night after everyone's asleep. I have no idea. But yeah, this is freaking me the fuck out. Sorry for the language, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, I took it out of the room and I just, like, threw it down the hallway last night, and I found it in the living room where I had thrown it this morning. And, you know, put it on the counter, and I'm just, like, staring at it, like, whose hair was in this thing? Like, trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And, you know, I haven't had an experience like that since I was in the hospital. I had fallen off the four-story balcony back in 2010, and I had a room full of patients when I had woken up from, you know, they had me on Dilaudid. I woke up, and there was a room full of patients. And this guy was standing over me asking me all these questions, like, who are you? What year is it? What time is it? Like, all these questions and stuff. And, you know, my mom was with me. I woke her up. She didn't see anything. So I was like, well, maybe I'm hallucinating. She's like, well, just tell them to leave. So I told them to leave. I opened my eyes back up, and everyone was gone. I mean, there had to have been about 15 patients in that room. It was freaky. So maybe I was thinking that they were just hallucinations there for a while. When I went home about a week later, I was sleeping in my room and I woke up. I was not on any pain medication like that. I was only on Tylenol, and the same exact guy was hanging over, like, he was, like, hovering over me, asking me all these questions again. So, you know, me thinking that he was a hallucination in the beginning, I'm, like, freaking out. Like, you know, I screamed at him to leave me alone. He doesn't belong here. This is my house. Please leave. You know, it's very stern. He left. And that was back in 2010. I haven't had, like, you know, any apparition talking to me or, like, any of that. So now I'm like, who is this lady in my bathroom? I don't know. I don't mind the children laughing in the playroom and running, but pitter-pattering and stuff when we're asleep. That I don't mind, but when they talk, this lady's talking to me now, and now I'm, like, scared she's going to show herself to me, and I don't know. Like, I have smudged the house I smudged it this morning. I smudged it last night. We smudged the house every single day. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. If we're, you know, we're smudging the house every day, maybe that does. I don't know, but any input you guys can give me, I would so appreciate it. The listeners, anyone, just give us something to work with. I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't give her, you know, of course my eyes went like bug-eyed when she said it in my ear. But, and it was like, you could feel like the hot breath. Like, it was weird. I was like, oh my God, like goosebumps right away. And I just, I don't know. If you guys could just, I didn't interact with her at all. I know you're not supposed to. And so I just like left it alone, you know, went and I told my husband about it. I whispered, which I don't know if that helped at all or not, but guys, help me. Okay, I love you guys. I love what you do. Thank you for this outlay. I appreciate it very, very much so. And I'm going to be at EPP very, very soon. Okay, thanks, y'all.
And now here's Jenny with all the solutions to your problems.
Okay, no offense to your husband, but the thing he found at the thrift store that suddenly brought this haunted Asian lady into your house, get rid of that. Because I'm sure that wasn't a major investment.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, when you were in the hospital after you fell and you woke up and you started seeing people in there, and then some of them went home with you, I think maybe your near-death experience has thinned your veil, and I would say you're probably going to have more experiences like this.
Well, I wonder if it's not necessarily that when that happened that there's a lot more people following. Maybe some are, but maybe it's just the veil's thinner, so you're gonna see him all over.
Now she sees dead people.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
That's the fun part of the answer.
And I'm guessing, I don't know, because I don't see them like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if telling them that you can't help them will make them go away. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's just kind of a ghost-by-ghost basis.
It is.
If you will. It's interesting that the furry weird thing they got at the thrift store.
Yeah. It wasn't really furry. It just had human hair on it.
Human hair. Okay.
Yeah. It was like a holder thing.
I heard human hair, and all I could think of was the furry pets that were sitting outside of our doorstep.
That was so gross.
You want to share the story?
No. It's your hair.
No, no, no. You share. It's your hair. You share.
That's how it goes.
We'll share what happened, and then I'll share what I did.
Okay. All right, so I have to drive Libby about 2 miles to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were leaving in the morning to go to the bus stop. And we open the door and go out. She starts to freak out because there's these little furry animal-looking things on the sidewalk. And she's still not used to everything that we have here in the woods. So she's thinking that there's some kind of little family of animals on our porch.
They kind of look like, what was the Star Trek animals that Trouble with Tribbles or something. I think that was, it was a famous episode.
Okay.
I'm not a Star Trek person, but I do remember that.
I don't know.
They essentially look like balls of hair.
Okay. So that's what, and I get up and I look at it and I'm like, no, honey, that's not, those are not weird little animals. Because she asked, what are these weird little animals? Now, you want to finish it? You want me to finish it?
So the night before, I decided I was going to shave my beard because it was getting long and I was beginning to resemble someone who might be living out back behind our house in the woods.
Yeah.
and not your husband. I decided to do that. And then I also shaved my head, too, because that was starting to get long, too. And so I did that, you know, onto a towel. So it doesn't get all over the mm-hmm. floor and then not have to sweep it up. And so I take that towel outside at night and I shake it out into the, and I thought I got it into the lawn the way I was shaking
okay.
it. Well, it was dark. Apparently not all of it went onto the lawn.
None of it went onto the lawn.
So there were these little things that looked like furry little animals, to a 10-year-old, kind of sitting there. About the size of a mouse.
You ridded yourself of enough hair to make an entire family of small animals. It was so gross.
Oh, there you go. I go out there and give them water every now and then.
We're going to end on the hairy Hairball family.
Yeah, we are. It would be kind of funny if you would have said, "Oh, you would have like you could have totally played this up. You could have been like, "Oh, those are what can we call
Ozark furballs."
Ozark furballs. When we get home later, we'll get a bowl out and we'll feed them.
She would come home excited to feed your hairball on the front porch.
She goes and puts some little. How come they're not moving? They go really slow. They're like snails.
It's gross.
See how many days you could get that to go for.
Her cousin to a sloth.
Oh, she would never let you forget that one.
God bless her.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, help us stay on the air. Sign up to be an EPP, Extra Podcast Person, at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show and keep us doing this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. So there you go, ghostpodcast.com. Check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.